Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready!
Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills radio network.
All right, here we go. We gotta have a drive.
23 left. 23 left. Will. 1, 2, 3.
It's time now for the Transit Town Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Transit Town, unbeatable prices, trusted service. Now, here's your host, Derek Kramer.
That's right. It's the Transit Town Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transit Town Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for 60 years and counting. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones here with you after a 31-21 Bills victory over the Miami Dolphins that sees the Bills get to 3-0. It wasn't as pretty as many would dream, but I would like to actually do something real quick before we get back to a little bit of business here, Zach, and that's this. I was right! Okay, there we go. We can proceed.
It was a weird game. It was a really weird game. I mean, I was wrong on how this would go, but in part because the Bills just couldn't capitalize. I'm not really complaining. They won by 10. It is what it is. Finish a game.
Also, why is this lunatic yelling at 1 in the morning? Give me a break. I have to be up.
Again, I mean, stack wins, it's September, what have you. 16-play drives, though, missing field goals, going away weirdly after scoring right away to start the third quarter.
Yeah.
There were multiple. But I don't leave this game thinking, man, the Dolphins are a little bit better than I gave them credit for. They're awful. They're terrible. And they got worse tonight because they lost a lot of their backup corners.
Yep.
I left this game going more, man, the Bills really played with their food for most of this game.
They did, and it was right off the outset, really. You let up a huge kick return, and then allow Miami to drive down the field. It takes them a while to actually punch it in, though.
Yeah.
However, the big, ugly, no good, very bad thing that happened in this game, though, was the third down defense was disgustingly bad in the first half in particular.
Yeah, ultimately ends 8 of 10 for Miami, and including 4 for, I believe it ended 4 for 4 on that final drive of the half.
Right. By halftime, it's 8 of 10. They convert their last 4 to score a touchdown to tie the game, and you're looking over at the Bills going, against Miami, you'll get away with this. Against other teams, you won't.
Yeah.
And ultimately, they do.
That's what it is, yeah.
They do. And the final for third down, though, by the way, 10 of 15 on the entire day. Bills, by the way, 6 of 11. So, you know, not bad from them there. It still looks like one of those things of like, you still cannot get this defense off the field on third down, no matter the down and distance, whether it's third and short or if it's those third and longs. And it's frustrating.
Yeah, that's maybe – it's one thing to give up a third and three and in, because usually those plays, like, math will tell you, you get a completion, you're going to convert that. It is the third and ten and longers where you're sitting there going, yeah, this is prime, you know, real estate to pin your ears back, rush the passer, no doubt. They are regularly – going back to last year, giving up third and 15-plus conversions, or you know, third and 10-plus conversions, that's the weird part of it. Is they're just fine on first and second down. There really isn't all that many big issues on first and second down defense.
Correct.
It is the money down.
It's the money down. And this is just how dominant they were over the Jets, by the way, that the numbers skew as quickly as they do. They go from the bottom of the league in third down defense after week one to first.
Mm-hmm.
And after tonight, I'd imagine they're back at the bottom again.
They might be.
At least
Jets
in the
going
lower
0
two-thirds.
For 11 will probably help you for a little while.
Yeah, but this is not one of those days that you can go ahead and hang your hat on. You stopped five third downs on the entire evening, and it was two in the first half and three in the second half, including one that was, I don't know what that play was from Miami, where they decided to just toss a lateral up there and lose some yards. Because Christian Benford was there. It was, that was one of the weirdest plays I've ever seen. It's like, you're coaching it like you have 14 seconds left. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Instead, like, no, it was the start of the fourth quarter. You didn't need to do that. And also, that ball traveled further than any of Tua's passes throughout the day.
It's also probably true for Josh Allen as well.
Outside of the one deep shot, but still.
Allen also really does not push the ball down the field. I initially had thought that was receivers are not getting open, that they wanted, that they maybe were looking to push the ball down the field. No, I went back just real quick to look at some of the highlights and what was going on, because, again, the All-22 is not out. No, that is not true at all. The Bills really wanted to keep everything short, obviously go to the run game, which was really working in the first half, and even to a certain extent was working in the second half as well. There's a shoelace tackle away from James Cook and have a 65-yard touchdown, I think, right at the start of the fourth quarter or around there. But they didn't try to push the ball down the field. The Dolphins, you can tell, didn't either. Really, with the Dolphins, which became obvious very quickly, they were getting the ball out of Tua's hands as fast as humanly possible. I think at one point he was at like 0.5 seconds before throwing the ball.
Yep.
I mean, it was absurd how quickly they – and to be fair, it made sense. You kind of could see some of the weaknesses, even in guys like Christian Benford's game, where they ultimately are just not the high-end athletes that you'd want to keep up with Jalen Waddle, Devon Achane, and Tyreek Hill. I think that's also where you saw maybe you'd want them to press more at the line of scrimmage – and to just cause, even for just a second, for Tua to have to go off his first read, they just didn't have the athletes to do it. Because if they screwed up even slightly, they do not have the athletes to keep up. That's where someone like Max Harrison comes in, although with that, you can't really look to that until even the second matchup. He's on IR.
Right.
At least until following the Saints game. It's, again, I'm not like furious by the performance or anything like that. It went very differently from how I thought. And what's even stranger from it is the game started, for the most part, after the first drive by the Dolphins, with, I think most of us thinking, yep, here comes the blowout. Here comes the runaway. They can't stop them on defense. It's big chunk plays in the running game and passing game. Here we go. And then it's the missed field goal by Prater. Like, that's really kind of what starts, like, this sort of uncomfortable run. Prater misses the field goal. It's a 16-play drive by the Dolphins. And all of a sudden, right, you're sitting there going, this game should be 17-7. Why is it 14-14?
And the other part of this is, like, something that I said in the Extra Point Show on what is now Thursday morning, where we're now Friday morning again. Welcome back to this. But I kept saying, it can't be this easy, right? That was kind of my overarching theme. And ultimately, that's proven right. Yeah, it's not that easy. Miami does end up punching back. As a matter of fact, the play that you're talking, like, one of the big plays that kind of like saves Miami's day. Bills are driving 14-7, threatening to score another touchdown. Third down, Bradley Chubb sacks Josh Allen. Prater then misses the field goal. Miami drives down the field to tie the game, and we've suddenly got 14-14 at the half. That sack gave Miami the breath of oxygen that they needed to continue the fight. Because that game, if the Bills score on third down, for example, or like they even just continue the drive and then ultimately score a touchdown,
it still goes 21-7.
If it gets to 21-7, we're off to the races. And everything that everyone predicted starts happening. Instead, Chubb makes a great play. Allen can't dance through the pocket, can't weave out. And then Prater inexplicably misses that field goal. And it gives the Miami Dolphins the one breath of life that they needed today. And again, you've got to make sure to put a team down when they make a mistake. And the moment that that happens is when things really start to look like the wheels are falling off of the Bills. They have to punt the football again. It looks like there's another problem. The offense stalls out. And a roughing the kicker call on the punt gives Buffalo the football back and gives them a lead that they would no longer relinquish.
I heard someone on the post game bring it up too, and I don't think it's necessarily wrong. That probably does save the Bills.
Yeah.
Just the way the game was going, the flow was not favoring the Bills at all. That really kind of gives them that jolt of like, okay, we got to put this away. Of course, the Terrell Bernard interception really seals the game, and they flirt with covering. I mean, it is still a 10-point win. They still hit 31 points,
right,
which is hysterical that they're winning the turnover battle for a 25th game, and they've hit 30 points again. Ultimately, yeah, I'm not mad at the game, but as you can probably tell in the tone of my voice, like, I'm very thrown that like this is how it went, because for most of the game it felt like, okay, here it comes. Here's the wave. Okay, that's not the wave. What the hell happened? What's going on? It's probably not going to be an issue as we go further. I heard Sean McDermott in the postgame also mentioned they are absolutely missing Ed Oliver in the interior. You could kind of tell from how the game went with the pass rush outside of Joey Bosa getting ever so close. They really were not generating much pressure. Linebackers and corners did a lot in the run game, and they kind of came up with the big plays on defense.
Mm-hmm.
The defensive line really did not. I don't really know if the offense was necessarily missing anything. I think, honestly, the big thing for me is I just wish they would uncork it every now and then. It just feels like they don't want – I don't want to say they don't want to score quickly, because you score as you score, but that's sort of how it feels like they don't want to like take like the big swings.
Right.
They do want to go on 8-plus play drives, 10-plus play drives, and to really limit how much their defense is on the field, which, yeah, that actually might be the plan. You know, as much as they put the draft and the free agent assets into the defense, they are dealing with injuries, they're dealing with suspensions, what have you. Like, they are not at full force yet, and they may be trying to, hey, we're trying to limit damage. We're just trying to get through it. We know we're probably going to get a turnover. That's just kind of how it's been running now. You keep that train going until it derails a little bit and not do too much. Where maybe unloading, uncorking, whatever with the offense might do you a disservice. I just don't think so. When you look at how they can play, like you mentioned it, if that sack doesn't happen and they go up 21-7, they were throwing the ball today. They had no issues going to the air against that defense. They just didn't push it down the field to the intermediate and deep routes, like, you know, Nate was bringing up, you know, the posts and stuff like that. They didn't go to it, but they were still willing to throw the ball and go up 21-7 and make Miami very one-dimensional. Ultimately, that happens. Devon Achane is out of the run game. They have to go to the passing game. But then in the second half, when they had another chance to do it, they just don't put the pedal to the floor. I don't know if, again, that's them kind of knowing the talent issue on the defense is still an issue, and they don't want to ultimately get into shootouts with teams.
Right.
Knowing that all it takes is one mistake by us, and we're chasing a game.
And yet you saw what they can do when chasing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the weirdest part about all of it. And ultimately, this is where we're going to set up the eye on the quarterback, by the way. That's brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. On the quarterback, Josh Allen, 22 of 28, 213 yards, 3 touchdowns. He was sacked twice in this game as well, and he runs 4 times for 25 yards. 2 of those plays were really suboptimal.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at it, and it's the average, 7.6. He misses 6 passes all day. None of which were really what I would call like bad throws. It was just either great defense, for example, on the Dalton Kincaid.
Oh, man.
That end zone attempt.
Beautiful.
The throw is beautiful, but the player has a hand in the bucket. Like, the ball is placed where it's supposed to. The defender has also got his arm in there.
Oh, yeah. It's a great play.
It's a great play. The only thing missing was Kincaid making the catch through that contact and deflection attempt. That's not an easy ball to win. Coleman has a drop. Not the end of the world type drop, but it's like, come on, what are we doing?
Ty Johnson, I think, as well.
Ty Johnson also has a drop in this game. Ray Davis has a throw where it's just, you know, it's not there. But there's no ball that like goes wayward on anybody, really.
I do want to mention,
but yeah, it's just the lack of using the intermediate even was kind of the surprising part to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the deep ball. They face more too high shell than anybody. I'm not expecting to uncork the deep ball. What I do want is to exercise the middle of the field in the intermediate range. And I don't know if it was an outright refusal or execution problem to it. The All-22 would solve those questions, but it left a weird taste in your mouth, for example. And that's the part that I don't truly understand. It's moments and stretches even where it seems like the offensive coordinator, I don't want to say he forgets that he has Josh Allen. It's that he chooses not to unleash him unless it's necessary. And it's both weird and a little comforting to know that you can win games without making Allen have to do everything. That's the part of it. There's a running game renaissance a little bit going on league-wide, and the Bills are leading the charge with that. It makes me feel good that you can run the football effectively, that you can give Josh Allen a little bit of relief. But yet at the same time, when you don't choose to let that player do his thing, you let a suboptimal team hang around. Especially Miami, who they've never been able to solve Allen. And you can go ahead and look at it today, casually 3 touchdowns.
I mean, the little flick to
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jackson Hawes, which
the man is,
I know
that's disrespect.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
yeah. Like I need to say it as nicely as possible, and I need to keep saying it like this, in the nicest way possible. Josh Allen is a jerk.
I just love that.
I'm just
Jackson
happy
Hawes,
that it's here.
The Jackson Hawes anytime touchdown was talked about kind of all day today.
That's great.
Even you put that up.
Even into the post game with, or into the pregame with Strobel and Bulldog. Like, that was like, hey, like, they love him so much. Like, could that might happen. This is a great number. So I hope that there's many of us out there that put even a dollar onto that just for fun. Just to, because it hit. I mean, it hit early.
It hit early.
And it was kind of.
The moment it happened, I start pointing at you on the other side of the glass.
I was pretty jazzed.
I was jazzed for you.
But you have that. You know what threw me with the intermediate, too? Kincaid, I think, has his best game as a Bill, as a receiver today. Did it all over the place. Really, outside of a great defensive play, he's going to have a second touchdown.
Yeah.
And it almost feels like it should have been more. Not to anything Kincaid didn't do, but in terms of the play calling, it felt like Kincaid really was going to have a day against this defense. And they kind of did go away from it. Ultimately, though, he still ends up with 5 catches for 66 yards and a touchdown. You mentioned the running game renaissance. I continue to think through these first 3 games, James Cook looks better than last year. I honestly believe that. He looks so good this year. And each of the first 3 games, there's been a play that you went, oh, yep, okay, he's a star. You have the 50-yard catch against Baltimore. You have the 44-yard touchdown.
Where he squeaks out of it.
Yep. And there's a few plays from him. He ultimately has the 26-yard rush, but there's also one he's cutting to the outside, and it's a shoelace tackle that saves a 65-yard touchdown run.
And he, like, smacks the turf knowing that he was gone. And he turns what could have been a loss based on the shoelace tackle, though, into 3 yards.
Yeah, he ends up with 108 yards rushing. He looks great. And also, last thing on this, too, I also want to say, and I tweeted it out as well, I've really enjoyed how they're using Elijah Moore. It's not often. It's not a ton. But they are using him, and you commented on it, too. They're using him in the way that you would almost expect them wanting to use Curtis Samuel.
If Samuel's a healthy scratch, you might as well make sure that his replacement in the lineup is being utilized, and that's what they're doing with him.
Yeah.
Don't forget, tomorrow on WGR is a Buffalo Bills Football Friday presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe break down the game in the morning. Then it's the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio from 10 until noon. When Bills Live follows it up at noon with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker. Schopp and Bulldog take over at 3 p.m. on a Buffalo Bills Football Friday, all day tomorrow, or today, shall I say, on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. Time to get connected with our fans. It's powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. We go to Adam. Adam, welcome to the Overtime Show. What you got for us?
Hey, good. Well, it's officially victory / football Friday here in the Rio Grande Valley.
It is.
Now, the reason I called is there's a part of me that, when I look at our defense, I have to kind of resign myself to the thought, are the 2025 Bills the greatest show on turf 2.0? Are we going to let a team know we're going to put 30 to 50 on you, depending on how good you are? You have to put up either 31 or 51 to beat us. And I was just kind of wondering if anybody else thought that or if I'm alone on this island.
Now, Adam, first of all, thanks for the call. The thing is that they score 31 points even tonight when they kind of play like their C-plus game.
Yeah.
It's not their best
stuff. It's a passing grade, but yeah. Like,
it's not their best stuff.
But the teacher's going to know, can do better, see me after class.
There's a couple drives in there where you're like, okay, what's going on here?
Mm.
And you know what I think it is? I think it's that playoff game against New England. You see this quarterback have a perfect game, and you know, hey, they can do this all the time. What do you mean they're not doing it all the time?
Mm-hmm.
And then you see the fourth quarter alone against Baltimore, where he has 251 of his passing yards in the fourth quarter alone, and it's like, they can do this all the time. Why do they choose not to? I mean, executing is hard, first of all.
And it's,
it is the professionals.
Yeah.
And that's why I got to where I got to today about Miami. It can't be this easy, right? They are professionals on the other side of the football. It can't be this easy, logically. And it wasn't. But like you said, it might have less to do with Miami and more to do with what the Bills were play calling today. I can't confirm or deny either of these things. But it does make for a little bit of a confounding game where they score 31 points. And like you said, the teacher still says, come see me after class.
I do wonder, though, like to Adam's point, that greatest show on turf 2.0. First, yes and no. I don't think they're going to be this offense that is remembered forever and have a nickname. Probably not. But there is something to the fact that they can go to both the running and the passing game and really dominate teams. Like in the Bills, hey, the perfect game. They don't really have a run game to go to.
No, they don't.
It has to be Allen doing everything. And I know we're, and I'm guilty of this too, wanting to see Allen do everything. And even part of it we're mentioning, like going to the intermediate passing game. But it is also something that they can kind of just run, pass, run, and it doesn't matter. And it's going to work. Like I mentioned, like Cook looks better this year than he has in any of his previous years. And he scored, what, 18 total touchdowns last year? 16 on the ground?
16 rushing alone.
And he looks incredible to start this year.
But Josh Allen steals all of his rushing touchdowns.
Right. And then, you know, Allen didn't look super dialed in against the Jets. The pass game was really all over the place a little bit against the Jets. Cook goes off there. And then today it's a bit of both, and they still put up 30, 31. I think also something for many of us, and I include myself in this as well, is it is September. I don't want them having their best games in September.
Yes.
You know, there's even that somewhat of a fear of Baltimore. like we're all joking, like, you know, is this going to be the game of the year week one? For at least the Bills, I hope that's not their best offensive performance being week one. I hope that as we get to the tougher games towards the end of the year, like when they play the Eagles, you know, going right into the playoffs, that's their second to last game. I hope that you're starting to see, okay, like they're really fine-tuned, they're coming together. You know, I'm very excited to see what Jackson Hawes' development is and what his role is going to ultimately be for the Bills. I don't think he'll overtake Dawson Knox this year, but maybe he does. They love him, and they're using him a lot. I can't wait to see what the snap count for this game is, if it continues to go up for him.
It might, and it very well might. And we will see what happens there as the season progresses with how Jackson Hawes has been utilized with this team. Be listening every Bills game day during Countdown to Kickoff for Tailgate Trivia, by the way, presented by TSE Buffalo. You could win a Buffalo Bills autographed merch item courtesy of Total Sports Enterprises Buffalo. We'll come back after a break on the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Bills 31, Dolphins 21. Derek Kramer and Zach Jones here with you. This is WGR.
Radio Network Sports Update.
While it took until late in the fourth quarter, the Buffalo Bills still get to 3-0. They don't ask how, they ask how many. The Bills winning 31-21 over the Miami Dolphins on Thursday Night Football. Josh Allen, 22 of 28, 213 yards, as well as three touchdowns. James Cook, 108 yards rushing on 19 carries with a score of his own, while Dalton Kincaid led the Bills in receiving, five catches, 66 yards, and a score. Miami was 10 of 15 on third down tonight, but the Bills, while the defense was beleaguered, they do get a crucial interception courtesy of Terrell Bernard to help themselves win the game. What's next for the Bills? Some extended time off. They'll host the New Orleans Saints in 10 days on Sunday, September 28th. The Saints, meanwhile, playing against the Seahawks this weekend, trying to win their first game of the year. This update is brought to you by Fiegel Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys. I'm Derek Kramer with WGR. Welcome back to the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transitown Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram over 60 years and counting. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones here with you on what is now, I guess, officially a Buffalo Bills Victory Friday.
Morning.
Morning. You absolute sickos.
I'm very proud of myself, by the way. I did not drink my second energy drink.
I'm proud of you now, too.
It's going to be my morning energy drink as I'm getting ready to go to work.
Can't confirm. I see this can. Yeah. It is not open.
Well, I don't want to forget it.
Don't touch it.
That's the key. I don't want to forget it.
Don't touch it.
So it's going to be traveling
next break,
with me constantly.
Next break, I'm taking that to the fridge. Just so that you don't have like any chance to like fail your resistance.
I've done it before.
That's also how he forgets it. So don't do that to him.
Yeah, correct. You just have to.
I have to trust you.
You have to trust me that I won't crack it open the moment I get into my car. I have zero self-control when it comes to caffeine, so it's fine.
I mean, that's kind of how it goes. But the Bills 3-0, by the way, it's a good day in that sense. It wasn't the prettiest, and even the Bills playing not their best game casually score 31 points. Third down defense is definitely something they need to hammer at because it's getting... I don't want to use the word concerning yet. It's three games, but it's definitely annoying.
It's a problem from last year. Yeah. I think this is what they are. I think the hope is for that third down defense aspect for them. Mm-hmm. The hope I think now is just, hey, Hoyt, Ogunjobi, Max Harrison, Milano, and Oliver being healthy, that will somewhat fix it. And I do say somewhat because I just. It is really their bugaboo. Like they're not bad on first and second down. There were multiple times tonight they got Miami into third and long situations, and it didn't seem to matter.
Right.
And that's really one of the more frustrating things. Is it's like I mentioned in that first segment there, it's not necessarily that they're getting to third and one, third and two, where math tells you, hey, just get a completion, you'll probably convert the down. It's not even that. It's plays where they've got to scheme it open. You know, guys have to make extra plays. You know, poor tackling by the Bills. It's an amalgamation of a few things that cause them to constantly have issues on third down.
And this game, I really think it was the Bill, like we talked about Joe Brady's play calling and Bobby Babich on the other side. I feel like a lot of times was playing to Tua's strengths. They let him have his first read a lot of times in this game. Tua didn't do much with it throwing it in the air, but he did enough to survive. And the other part was, man, you sacked him zero times. Miami's offensive line has surrendered 8 sacks in 2 games, and you come away with 0. And as a matter of fact, you hit him once. Joey Bosa gets credit with the only quarterback hit.
Mm-hmm.
That said, there is a moment where pressure does mean something because Deion Walker gets right into Tua's face, forcing a play. Terrell Bernard reads it, picks it, game.
Walker's fantastic.
He's going to be something very good for them, I think, in due time.
I think we're already at this point now, though, a fourth-round rookie being able to do some of the stuff he's already doing 3 games in already kind of feels like a hit for a draft pick. It's kind of almost the same with Jackson Hawes at this point. Being a fifth-round rookie, like he's a part of the offense this much, already kind of feels like a hit. Now you just hope that there's more here than just what we're seeing. And with Walker specifically, he is a problem. He had a few. I mean, he plays a big part in kind of ultimately the game sealing play with the interception of Bernard.
Right.
He's got a few moments though in the run game where he's the first guy there, and just boom, 1 yard gain. That's all you're getting. You're right. Not moving past him.
Walker does make a pretty nice play where, like, Devon Achane kind of gets a little bit down the field. It looks like he's got 3 yards. He's trying to get more. And then from the side, in comes 340 pounds of, I'm going to mess you up, from Deion Walker. And it's good run support getting down the line like that and not giving up on a play. That said, man, I need to see more. Not even more. I need to see something from Greg Rousseau. 3 games in.
Oh.
He's been on a milk carton.
Do we have to talk about that? Oh, man.
You know, we can put that away for next week. But I do need to at least make that a brief mention.
It should be mentioned. I thought he was going to break out this year because it was pointing to
right.
He was a ascending player. And they add Joey Bosa, and you have some of these other defensive players coming in, namely the rookies, because that's they're going to mm-hmm. start the year that you have some guys
right.
in suspension. You're right. He's been on a milk carton for the first 3 games. I have really and truly not noticed him at all. Bosa and Oliver flashed weeks 1 and 2. That's not a disrespect to Rousseau. Those two just flashed. What has happened, though, through the first 3 games is he hasn't even really registered anything. He honestly, Derek, you know what he looks like last year or this year? He looks like last year's Ed Oliver.
Right.
That's the thing is Ed Oliver was really a non-factor at this time last year, and it really, you know, frustratingly continued on throughout the year. That's what Rousseau looks like right now. Just kind of a huge nothing burger constantly.
And that is going to be a problem if you keep seeing it, and especially for a player to have just gotten an extension like that.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be able to put something together, get some consistency around the board there. And again, if you can't get that done, man, what are we doing here? And it's another piece in the general manager can't draft a defensive end to make an impact if that becomes the case. And you don't want to see Rousseau regress into that territory. So we'll see what happens. But again, you need something out of him. And it's not like the Bills are playing quality competition in terms of their offensive lines.
No,
in these last 2 games.
Yeah, and that'll continue into New Orleans as well.
It'll continue in New Orleans. It'll continue in New England.
Mm-hmm.
You should be taking advantage of these offensive lines, and tonight, quote unquote, now last night, I guess, technically, you didn't. Until it truly mattered, and it was the rookie defensive tackle, the fourth-round rookie defensive tackle, mind you, that really did that. You need better there. But we mentioned, you know, the game's coming up, the team's coming up here. This is a chance to go brewing around the league. Brought to you by Thin Man Brewery and their new Mafia Light, the official beer of the Buffalo football tailgates. The Bills' next opponent, the New Orleans Saints, they take on the Seattle Seahawks 4:05 on the road on Sunday. Meanwhile, then also, if you want to do a little bit of scouting about the Patriots, they take on the Steelers. That's a 1 o'clock kick on Sunday as well. Zach, what's the game you're going to be watching this weekend?
Selfishly, I'll be locked into Colts-Titans.
Okay.
Mainly because I was a part of Bulldogs kind of run of big parlays for division winners.
Mm-hmm.
I put in a few different bets. And this was back in like February and then later on into the spring.
Right.
I have one that has the Patriots winning 7.5 games and then the Bills and Jaguars winning their divisions. I would like to not stick through that the whole year, and I'd like the Jaguars and the Patriots to win some games so that I can cash out pretty soon, because right. I don't feel good about the Jaguars winning that division because the Colts look very good, and I want to see if that continues against an AFC South opponent. I don't believe in Daniel Jones, but at a certain point, it's like, okay, wait, I got to watch and see what's going on here.
All right, well, that's what we got to do here, but
I'm going to be locked into Colts-Titans. This is what happens when the Bills play on Thursday and I have Sunday free.
Hey, that's how it goes. We'll take a quick time out here, and when we come back, we'll end up going to the locker room and hearing from Terrell Bernard as we continue on here in the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Again, Transitown Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for 60 years and counting. I'm Derek Kramer. That's Zach Jones. TJ Luckman is on the board here on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the final segment here of the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transitown Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for 60 years and counting. Don't forget that today on WGR, just in a couple hours, it is a Buffalo Bills Football Friday presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe will break the game down for you in a couple of hours at 6 a.m. Then it's the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio from 10 until noon. One Bills Live with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker follows it up at noon. Shelton Bulldog get going at 3 o'clock on a Buffalo Bills Football Friday all day today on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. We mentioned it, we'll get ourselves to the locker room. And that is brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. We hear from the man who helped Buffalo seal the victory. It's linebacker Terrell Bernard.
TB, tell us about, you know, the play of the day, the interception.
Yeah, it's honestly something that we have seen on tape. It's a common route around the league. But, you know, I want to give a shout-out to Al Holcomb, the linebacker's coach. He put it on tape a few times. You know, we've worked that play. Our offense runs that play. And, you know, he basically told me, like, if I see it, go. And, you know, I think they ended up jumping the back, got to, like, a 3-by-1 or a 2-by-2 snug set. And, you know, that's one of the, like I said, it's one of their top quick game concepts. We're in a 3-deep zone and, you know, just saw it and broke on it. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well, do you think, I mean, Deion Walker had a great pressure on that play. Do you think that might have, blocked to his vision, trying to find you there?
Yeah, no, 100%. I couldn't really see the front, but when I came out to the sideline, I think that was the first thing that Ed told me. He said, Deion won quick and, you know, got a pressure and made him get the ball out quick. So, you know, it takes a full team effort. You know, it's hard to win in this league every week. That's a good team, explosive offense. So to come out here on Thursday night on a short week and get it done, it feels good.
Last week you guys were perfect on third down. Tonight not as good. What was the difference in the two games?
Yeah, I think, just our fundamentals. You know, there's a couple times when, you know, we have him and we miss a tackle here. He gets out of the pocket, you know, creates a play. So that's really what it comes back down to. I got to go back and watch the tape. I know we weren't great at all on third down, and that was really the emphasis at halftime. You know, we felt like we were winning first and second down, getting them to third and long, and just weren't detailed and you know, finishing those drives. So I think coming out of the second half, I don't know what the stats were in the second half, but it felt like we got off a little bit more. But yeah, that's something we'll go back and look at. Like you said, last week, you know, we did really well, and this week it wasn't as good. So, you know, it'll be good to go back and see, you know, the things that we need to get corrected.
Now, did some of the motioning and misdirection kind of neutralize some of the things that you were trying to do defensively out there?
I wouldn't say neutralize it. I think it just, you know, it does create a sense of urgency within the defense. You know, things change, coverages change. When they're moving, but you know, that's our job to be prepared for that. So like I said, man, we'll go back and watch the tape, get some things corrected, and you know, grow from it.
Deion Walker's impact throughout the whole game, was he able to keep you clean where you can shoot gaps and make plays?
Yeah, that's what I said, man. He's made a ton of plays. Even the plays that he's not making, he's causing, you know. So shout out to him, man. I know it's tough to come in here as a rookie and to really play to the level that he's played at. And he's a guy that constantly wants to get better, constantly talking to Ed, talking to Big Phil, talking to DQ, those guys up front that have been here for a long time that have done it at a high level. So I got all the respect in the world for him. And like I said, he's a unique guy. He's a big guy, but he's super athletic and, you know, can make plays that people wouldn't assume that he can make. So it's fun, man, getting to work and play behind him. You know, he's been a great addition.
Turnaround's always tough on Thursday night games.
Yeah.
The upside is you get the win, and now you have an extended break.
Yeah.
How beneficial is that?
Yeah, it's huge. You know, a few days, like I said, a short week, trying to get all the preparation in, trying to get your body right to get out here and, you know, perform at your best. And then coming out here and getting the win is, like you said, is huge. A couple extra days to really recoup, catch our breath, and go in and you know, get some things corrected that we might not have had on a regular week, and have that extra time to really dial in on what we need to do and where we can get better, do a little self-scout, and you know, move on from there. And the few days helps your body, helps your mind, and you know, gets you in a new groove.
Have implemented a lot more base defensive formations. How do you think that's helped you guys so far?
Yeah, I think it's helped a lot in the run. You know, when they go big personnel, we want to match them. And if they want to try to run the ball and we got our big guys in, you know, I feel like, you know, we have the advantage there. You know, we know Taren can do it. He's done it for a long time. But to have another big body come in and, you know, be able to change some things up and, you know, not be as predictable and not you know, just being our same nickel package that we're in most of the time, I think it's been good for us. You know, we've got a lot of guys in the linebacker room that can play good football. You know, Taren included, he's, you know, a semi linebacker when it comes to that. But you know, it's been fun. A new wrinkle kind of in the defense. We've done it before, but you know, doing it a little bit more now, and you know, I feel like we've been pretty successful in it so far.
What is it about this defense that just, no matter what's happened the first few quarters of the drive, to be able to come up and make a play and force these turnovers in big spots?
Yeah, I think it's just the mindset. You know, we talk about it all the time. The ball is the most important thing. And, you know, we know it's not going to be perfect. Offenses around the league are good. You know, that's a known fact. But, you know, for us, it comes down to taking the ball away and, you know, especially in the critical moments of the game. So, you know, that's something that we preach and something that we believe in and something that we've been, you know, pretty good at. And, you know, I think that's just the philosophy of who we are.
No Milano, so how instrumental was Shaq Thompson and Dorian Williams out there with you today?
Yeah, it's huge. me and Dorian have played a lot of football together. You know, I've grown to know him as a player, as a person. So it's cool to, you know, have that relationship and then go out there and be able to play together. And, you know, he, like I said, you know, when Matt's out there, he's coming in the base packages. Matt's down. So, you know, Shaq's coming in and, you know, he's been a great addition. You know, a veteran leader, a guy that's played really good football at a high level for a long time. A smart player and, you know, somebody that I lean on a lot. You know, honestly, he's, you know, one of the guys that I look to the most, you know, getting tips here and there, communication-wise, things that I need to get better at. So having him in the building and being around, man, it's been great.
How much of the speed plays in the fourth quarter? Like, you know, Chiefs game last year, playoff game against the Ravens. I mean, these are all fourth quarter plays that you're turning in. Are you building up a book on a quarterback through the course of the game where you just read him a half second faster by the time you get to the end? What is it about you in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. You know, the mental part of the game, you know, you learn as the game goes. You know, you get a feel for the offense, you get a feel for, you know, the route concepts as they want to get to, the people they want to get the ball to, certain situations, you know, you have a tell on where the ball is going. And I think that's for all of us. You know, we talk about it all the time on the sideline, the ball. And then, like I said, just building throughout the first few quarters and getting an understanding of what's going on, I think it helps us play a little bit faster. And, you know, once the, you know, the second half rolls around, the fourth quarter rolls around, you know, we feel like we have an idea of what's going on. And, you know, that's that split second is what helps you make plays.
Terrell, how much was the speed of the Dolphins been a challenge for you? You've played them over the last couple of years.
Yeah, no, it's super challenging. You know, they got guys that could take the top off. Obviously, you know, Tyreek and Waddle, but they have other guys, too, that are threats down the field. So, you know, you got to respect that. But at the same time, we got to still play our style of ball and play, you know, within our system. So, yeah, it's a challenge for sure. But, you know, we do a good job game planning throughout the week and understanding where their strengths are and understanding, you know, what we want to get accomplished throughout the game. So I think that's the biggest thing when it comes to playing them.
As captain of the defense, what have you learned about this team in the first 3 weeks of the season?
I think the main thing is just the relentlessness. You know, you go week one, we're down, it doesn't look good, but, you know, guys keep playing. We're talking about it on the sidelines. Like, all it takes is one drive. And, you know, we come up with a win there. And then you go and, you know, you play the Jets, who's a really good team. And, you know, we feel like we had a really good day. And we stayed on the gas. We didn't let up. You know, we did what we were supposed to do. And then you come, you know, off a short week, play the Dolphins on Thursday night. You know, not a ton of time to prepare, not a ton of time to get your body right. But it doesn't matter at the end of the day. You know, we're going to come out here and you know, work and grind and do what we got to do to put ourselves in the best position. So I think, you know, that kind of sums up, you know, the identity of this team right now. We still got a long way to go, man. It's early in the season. But, you know, I love coming to work with these guys. You know, it's been a blessing.
That was linebacker Terrell Bernard again, brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. As we wrap things up here on the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show, don't forget to let TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence intercept your home heating bills. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 toward your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. Contest ends January 4th, 2026. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today. One last time here from our studios here in Amherst, it is the Bills 31, the Dolphins 21, moving to 3-0. Jeremy and Joe will get things started for you in just about 4 hours' time here on a Buffalo Bills football Friday. For Zach Jones, for TJ Luckman on the board, I'm Derek Kramer. This has been the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transitown Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for 60 years and counting. Try to get some sleep, y'all.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.